Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack, your We Bring Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministry. Your, as I search the scriptures, seeking a word from the Lord you all to share with us this evening, your, as my search continued through the books of the Old Testament, your, I became mesmerized by the illuminating story of one of God's judges, one who governed the land of Israel. You all, the story, it began to reveal you all and to display God's divine essence in and throughout the life of Samson. Now, you all, I could not help but to meditate on how the divine attributes of God were portrayed via God's providential plan for Samson's life. Your God's sovereignty revealed his absolute authority. His omnipotence displayed his almighty power. And his justice, you all, would turn curses into blessings. Now, you all, we have all had to lean and depend upon God at least some time or another. However, you all, maybe it was when, you all, we made choices and decisions, when we leaned, you all, on our own understanding, rather than the mind of Christ. Or maybe, you all, it was when, you all, the adversities of life attempted to steal or rob us of our faith. Each time, you all, we knew that God could and would deliver us yet again. However, you all, I have come to the conclusion by analyzing and exegeting the story of Samson that there is only one thing, you all, that God could not do for Samson. I mean, it has never happened in any battles that we've faced in our lives. I mean, he could not do it in Samson's life. Likewise, he cannot do it regarding us. And because of this, let us accept as a title of our message this evening, God can do anything but fail. Now, you all, our passage this evening will be coming from Judges, the 16th chapter. Now, I want to do a premature apology on the longevity of this passage. However, you all, we have to get reorientated to the intricacies of the story. So we begin, you all, here at Judges, 16th chapter. And I will read for your hearing our passage beginning at verse 1. And it reads, "And when Samson went to Gezer, he saw there a harlot. And he went into her, unto her. And it was told the Gezite, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him and laid wait for him at the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gates of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, base and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved the woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dry, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up unto her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chambers. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he broke the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him. The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And they were liers in wait, abide in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, of course this is after you, or he continued to feed her false information. It says, and she said unto him, How can thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and have not told me where the great strength lieth. And it of course came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Then he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There have not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazareth unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will be like any other man. And when Delilah knew that he had shown her all, she went and she called for the lords of the Philistine, saying, Come up this once, for he hath shewed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to cut off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said to himself, I will go out as any other time before, and shake myself. And he knew not that the Lord had departed from him. Now you all, each and every one of us, you all, who are presently under the sound of my voice this evening, you all, each of us have had, you all, are blessed with, say, the guidance of loving parents, our parents. Now, some of us, we may not see it that way, but y'all, we are and were loved at least y'all enough to still be here and alive. Now, y'all, throughout the history of the people of Israel, the Lord, y'all, he would send angels down to visit with chosen and expecting mothers. Your mothers who would bear children that would be used by God for the edification of his divine plan for man. Mothers such as Sarah, who bore Isaac, Elizabeth, John the Baptist, Hannah, the mother of Samuel the prophet, the wife of Manoah, and Samson, whose mother's name you all was never mentioned in the Bible, yet she too was visited by divine messengers. And of course, Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These mothers, they were instructed on how to prepare their child for the kingdom building work before them. They were chosen as invisible heroes. Now, during the age of the Jews, God, he would provide visible heroes to teach the people how God, will basically reveal himself to them by way of his divine essence. And to teach them, that their God can do anything but fail. Now, these visible heroes, they could be identified by one special gift. That gift would be, the guest of honor that resided within them. That gift was none other than, the power of the Holy Spirit, in which God bestowed upon them for this designated charge. Now, these selected mothers, coupled with their children, or the chosen child in particular, they would all leave a blueprint in their legacy in reference to how the power of God will again work in the lives of his children. Now, just as those visible heroes you all empowered to fulfill a task during the age of the Jews, your every single believer who are living you all on the face of the earth, we are called heroes. Now, you all, we may not have a group of paparazzis and their cameras following us around. Or we may not, you all, have our footprints glowing on the sidewalk walk of fame. And there may not be you or anyone presently writing our autobiography. However, yet you all, we must know that God does, you all, have a purpose for our lives. You know, we are called the salt of the earth. You know, we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, that same guest of honor that resided in the visible heroes of Israel also resides in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Yo, we have been chosen for a purpose. We are indeed invisible heroes. Now, some of us may say, well, I'm a senior among the multitude. My work is done. Some of us may say, you all, I don't even hold an important title on my job. Certainly, I'm not a hero. And some may even say, you all, I have difficulties holding my family together. A hero, I am not. Your God says, you all, that we are somebody. God says, you all, that we are a tree planted by the river. We must know, you all, that someone, you all, is watching us. Our grandchildren, our neighbor's children. You all, someone is listening to every word we say. You know, someone is learning from us. Someone is growing stronger, you all, just because of you. I mean, you're even the visible heroes, you all, of the days of old. I mean, they knew that every teacher needs a teacher. You know, these heroes, they learn from those that had come before them. Moses, you know, Moses, he learned from Abraham. Moses echoed Abraham, you all, when he's told the people and commanded them when he said, "Stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord." Now Joshua, you all, he learned from Moses. Joshua, he said to the people, "Fear not nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against who ye fight." And David, you all, David, he learned from Samson. You all, when David supervised the sheep and delivered them to the tabernacle for sacrificial rituals, you all, he learned the doctrine that was being taught by the Pharisees. Doctrine about, you all, how Samson killed 1,000 with the jawbone of an ass. Well, David, you all, as he listened in and he heard about the potency of this powerful spirit, David took it and went out and he killed a lion and a bear with that same spirit. Now, Samson, of course, was said, you ought to have killed 1,000 Philistines with that same spirit. David again took it to another level. He killed 10,000. However, you all, David, he learned something also very significant. He learned that Samson, you all, he became vain. He lacked respect for parental authority. He ignored the laws of God given to him by his parents. However, on the other end, you all, David, he remained humble and he won the throne. Samson lost the spirit of God due to being out of fellowship. David, you all, when he was out of fellowship, he begged God not to take his spirit away from him. Your God called David a man after his own heart. And this is specifically, you all, because of his humility, genuine, pure humility. Now, due to Samson's initially, you all, being prepared for the task before him, we all, Samson had expectations. You see, y'all, whenever we prepare for something, we expect results. You see, it's natural, you all, to periodically check the strength of our status. I mean, when we work hard throughout our lives,
where we manage our affairs. And then you know, the time comes to test our, say, credit score. But before that date, of course, we test our credit score with smaller purchases. However, y'all, when the time arrives for that dream house purchase, well, we know exactly, y'all, where the strength of our credit lies. There are times we have to test out our debate skills when we stand our ground on convictions, y'all, we believe in, whether we're dealing with friend or foe. Samson, y'all, he tested his strength, a lion. He tested it with 300 foxes, y'all, in which he set ablaze in the heart of the cornfields of Palestine. He tested his strength, y'all, when he snatched up the gates of the city of Gaza and left the city carrying them on his shoulders. Y'all, he inspected what he expected. Now, Samson's expectations, y'all, were fulfilled. However, y'all, like many believers today, Samson's confidence turned to arrogance. As Samson's arrogance grew, y'all, he began doing things he was told not to do. He began going places he was instructed not to tarry. Samson got too close to and ended up, y'all, in love with a harlot by the name of Delilah. Samson must have forgotten, y'all, that Satan's favorite entry point into one's life is always through someone close to you. Samson found himself sleeping with the enemy. Y'all, in retaliation for the hardship in which Samson inflicted upon the Philistines, traps were laid to capture him. You see, y'all, those supernatural things that the believer can do with the power of the Holy Spirit, well, y'all, they cannot be done without a fellowship with God. Y'all, Samson, he could no longer think right. Samson could no longer walk right. Samson could no longer talk right. Delilah, the unsaved woman in Samson's life, was convinced, y'all, to take part in the conspiracy to take Samson down. She began to press Samson concerning the source of his strength. Now, Samson, y'all, he was taught by his parents not to play with fire. They told him, they said, son, when you play with fire, eventually you will get burned. Y'all, the fire of Delilah began to spur his vicious flames. After securing the intel from him of the seven green wicks that were never dried, the fast binding of him with new ropes that have never been occupied, and the wearing of the weaving of the locks, y'all, that would be cut from his head. Y'all, each and every time, as the enemies, y'all, were lying in wait, Delilah, she would awaken Samson in terror. The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And each time, y'all, Samson, he would release the strength of the Holy Spirit. The scripture states, y'all, that Delilah worried Samson so much about the covenant that he had with God, which, of course, at that time she did not know. But scripture states, y'all, that she harassed Samson so hard on the matter, y'all, that his soul was vexed unto death. In other words, y'all, he surrendered. He gave in. He could not take one more word from Delilah concerning the source of his strength. And in verse 16 through 18, it says, then Delilah felt sorry for Samson. Is that what it says, y'all? I don't think so. Y'all, in verse 18, it says, Delilah knew that Samson had told her all. Y'all, it almost converted her. Samson told her, he said, Delilah, from the very time I opened my eyes on the eighth day, my life had been committed to God. He said, I've been trusting God because he is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I've always looked to God. He comes from the hills where my strength comes from. He is the father and the owner of all cattle on all hills. He said, I cannot survive without him. You know, he preached to her almost so intensely, y'all, that she almost confessed and converted into Christianity. But, George, she felt it would be, you know, a bad taste. I mean, if she would cancel her appointment, you all, at Neiman Marcus or Jared Jewels of Jerusalem. So she called out one final time after Samson's locks were cut. The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Samson said to himself, you all, with confidence, as we often do as well. He said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. But the Bible tells us, you all, but this time he knew not that the Lord had departed from him. You all, how many of us know that Samson's power was not in his hair? How many of us know that Samson's power was not in his strength? It was not in his good looks. You know, how many of us know that our power, you know, is not in our titles or our intellect or our finances? I mean, it's not even in our whip. You know, our power, just as Samson's power, it could only be found, you all, in obedience, in humility, and also the knowledge, you all, that God can do anything but fail. Your Samson's preparation, which always leads to God's manifestation of his power in our lives. Your, it is when we are weak that we are strong. Your, it is to the hills that come our help. We know that our help come from God who made heaven and earth. Your Samson, he was captured. He was imprisoned. And he was made to grind corn in the prison dungeon. Samson's eyes were plucked out, and he was made to make sport for his enemies. Your Samson may have lost his eyesight. Samson may have lost his hair. Samson may even have lost his girl, but he remembered God can do anything but fail. Then he did, you all, what we must do. He cried out. He cried out to God. Y'all, in verse 28, it says, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Now, you all, we must stand on God's faith. The faith that we get, you all, when we put our trust in him. We must stand, you all, in faith. Stand in faith, even when you can't see your way. Stand in faith, even when you feel like you can't face another day. Stand in faith, even when the tears want to flow from your eyes. Stand in faith, knowing that our God will always provide. Stand in faith, even when you feel that all hope is gone. Stand in faith, knowing that he's always there for you to lean on. Stand in faith, even when you feel like giving up. Stand in faith, because he is there, you all, saying, just look up. Stand in faith, even in those times you feel so all alone. Stand in faith. Hold on, be strong, and he is still on the throne. Stand in faith, even when it's hard to believe. Stand in faith, knowing that he can change your situation suddenly. Stand in faith, even in those times you feel it's hard to pray. Stand in faith and believe that he is already making the way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So stand in faith, because you already have the victory. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, let us remember, you know, we are God's children. We are the ones he has promised everything to. We are co-heirs with his son, Jesus Christ. So let us remember, you all, who we are. We're the children of the Most High God, and we are called according to his purpose. I once read a quote, y'all, that said, if a man's road leads to heaven, there are times when he must travel that road alone. So let us also remember, y'all, whose we are. Y'all, we belong to the great I Am. We belong to the God, y'all, who can do what? Anything but fail. So no matter what it is we may be facing, the chaos, the drama, the unnecessaries, the unexpected, your tribulations, whatever we are dealing with, y'all, no matter what others may say, whatever we read, think, or hear, remember one thing and one thing only, and that is, y'all, God can what? Do anything but fail. May God bless you. May God keep you, is my prayer.